Lorna is going to come and read for us from God's Word this morning, from the letter to the Romans. And then Tim is going to come and speak for us. But before we do that, let's pray. Let's pray first as we listen to God's Word. Lord God, as we come to listen to you speak to us through your Word today, please would you give us spiritual ears to hear and eyes to see all that you would have us know and learn of you today, all that we need to take to heart and act on in our lives, personally and as a church family. Would you transform us as you renew our minds in the power of your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name, amen.
So the reading is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. That's on page 942 in the Bibles in the seats. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you're not under law, but under grace.
Thank you very much, Lorna, for reading for us, and thank you, Fee, for praying as well. I don't know where you are personally in your understanding of God and what place he has in your life. I know that for some, but not for you all. Today, you might be somebody who is just considering, thinking about becoming a Christian. It may be that you've heard about Jesus, you've heard something of him, and you are considering whether to give Jesus your heart, your life, and to really receive him as your God and as your Lord and your Savior. It may well be that you are already a Christian, you know you're a Christian. You became a Christian at some point, and now you're living a Christian life. And you kind of like think, well, what actually happened at that moment when I became a Christian? What really went on? You see, that moment that we become Christians changes us completely and utterly. So if you are thinking about becoming a Christian, it would be right to ask, what would happen if I were to give my life to Jesus today? What would happen in my heart? What would happen in my life? If you are already a Christian, you know you're one, but you don't really know what happened when you became a Christian, it's important that you do know, because your life has changed, and you ought to be living in a completely different way. And knowing what happened when you became a Christian will help you to live your life for the Lord today. These are the things that we are thinking about in Romans chapter 6 in the verses that Lorna read for us. So we're coming back to the book of Romans. We've been going through the book of Romans a little bit by little bit over a long period of time, and we come to chapter 6. According to the Bible, and according to the first 5 books of this book, Romans chapters 1 to 5, whoever you are, and whatever you have done, no matter how sinful and bad, when you became a Christian, you are forgiven because Jesus died for you. You do not have to do anything at all to make up or up at all for all the bad things you've done. In fact, there's nothing you can do because Jesus has done it all. You are completely forgiven. That's Romans 1 to 5. And Romans chapter 6 begins to answer some questions that we might have out of being forgiven by God utterly, it all being done by Jesus. Well, how do we live in the light of that? You see, the big question is, if I'm completely forgiven, totally free from all the consequences of all my sin, and it's all done by Jesus, what does that mean? Does that mean that I can just carry on living in whatever way I want? I can carry on sinning, but hey, it's all dealt with by Jesus. I can live in whatever way I want. That's the question which Romans chapter 6 begins to ask. So my first point today is a question. Is a Christian free to carry on sinning? That's verses 1 and 2. Let me reread those. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? The question that I was just asking a moment ago. Now, I've been trying to figure out how to explain this cross-culturally. For British people and Western people who might know the game of Monopoly, it's quite easy. There is the game of Monopoly. Now, I gave this to Mac. Well, where are you? Mac. Mac's right here. Mac speaks Kurdish and he speaks Farsi, and he translated this for me. So some of you here listening already have already had a chance to read what I say in your own language, Farsi, and Mac had a problem trying to translate the game of Monopoly to you. And having a chat with him, and I was chat with Marte at the end, who's Hungarian, and trying to think through concepts in Hungarian, in Kurdish and Farsi, which fit with this. And it's very difficult. So, but I think I need to teach you this because a Monopoly, there's a phrase that is now in English that we use in the Western world. And it's an unhelpful piece of Western culture that if you've come to Britain from another culture, I kind of need to warn you about. So I'm doing cross-cultural stuff here in a different kind of way. I want to teach you about a saying, but then I want to say, well, hang on, you want to be careful about that. If you Google this saying, get out of jail free, you'll find a lot of politicians reaching into their pocket for something which will let them off the hook. It's a bit like having diplomatic immunity. You go to a different country as a diplomat and you break the law and you go, ha ha, I don't have to go to prison because I've got diplomatic immunity. I can go back to my own country and nothing ever need to harm me. Is being a Christian like that? Having a get out of jail free card in the game of Monopoly, which means I can just carry on playing the game. Doesn't matter what I do, I can just keep on going. Is it like having diplomatic immunity? I can do what I want. Jesus has paid the price. I'm free to carry on going. So the game Monopoly, it's a terrible game of capitalism, all right? Where you do all you can to go around the board and buy all these properties. And then when somebody else playing the game with you lands on one of your properties, they have to pay you for landing on your space, all right? And you accumulate lots of money in a really good capitalistic way and lots of property, and you build hotels. And just to give you a clue, the best ones to get are these ones here, the dark blue. And if someone lands on here and you've got a hotel on it, you can wipe them off the floor. The point of the game is to win all the money and all the property. And by doing that, make sure everybody else is bankrupt and has nothing. That's Western culture and capitalism, really. Communism's not much better, by the way, but we're not talking about that. He's got different problems, and it's as bad. If you land on a particular space, you can get a card that says you have to go to prison, and you miss three goes. That's three goes of not making any money, which means you could end up out the game, unless you've been given, by landing on one of these things here, a get out of jail. You want to show the card? There it is on the right there. Unless you've got a get out of jail free card. See the bird flying the nest there? You can say, doesn't affect me. I am free to go. Is being a Christian like having a get out of jail free card? That means Jesus has died. You're forgiven. Now it doesn't matter how you live. You're all absolutely okay. And the answer that Romans chapter 6 says, no. What then shall we say? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Doesn't matter how I live. Verse 2, by no means. That is the answer of the Bible. Once you've become a Christian, yes, you are forgiven. But that does not mean at all that you carry on sinning. No, your life has changed. Why? The second point, because a Christian has died to sin. Verse 2-4. This is what happens when you give your life to Jesus. If you are thinking about giving your life to Jesus, this is what's going to happen. If you've already given your life to Jesus and you didn't know what happened, this is what happened to you at that moment. Sin, according to the book of Romans so far, and if you've got a pen and a bit of paper, I'm going to give you some verses, so you might want to make a note of them. According to the book of Romans so far, chapters 1-5 and into chapter 6, sin is not just being naughty or being immoral or doing wrong things or saying wrong things. Those sins are the symptom of sin. Sin is a much deeper problem. So the book of Romans has told us so far that sin is powerful. It has a great power over us. First verse to make a note of, chapter 3, verse 9, talks about being under sin. Sin is a ruler that has authority over us. Chapter 5, verse 21 says that sin reigned like a ruler, like a king, like a queen, having power over us as a ruler. Sin is a taskmaster, that is, a tyrant to whom we are enslaved. Chapter 6, verse 6, the chapter that we're looking at today, talks about being enslaved to sin. And chapter 6, verse 14 speaks about sin having dominion, authority again over us. So sin is a powerful influence over us. Sin is powerful. Secondly, sin is destructive. The ultimate weapon of mass destruction in our world is sin. It ultimately and always leads to death. Chapter 5, verse 12, I'll read that. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through the one man, that's Adam, and death through sin, so death spread to all people because all sinned. Sin leads to the death of us all. The ultimate weapon in the hands of Satan, our enemy, of mass destruction. Sin is powerful. Sin is destructive. And that's what we are. That's what we are as human beings, under sin. But when a person becomes a Christian, at their conversion, this is what will happen to you if you give your life to Jesus today. This is what happened if you gave your life to Jesus 20 years ago or 2 years ago. At your conversion, verse 3, we are baptized into Jesus Christ. That's that word there, baptized into Jesus. Water baptism symbolizes the things that go on at your conversion. Baptism is a picture of being linked, that is, united to Jesus as we put our faith in him. And what is it about Jesus that we are tied to? We belong to Jesus, What is it about Jesus that we are then tied to and linked to him? Number one, his death. Jesus died. So on 17th of July, put the date in your diary, at least 8, probably 9 people are going to be baptized here on Sunday morning. All right. And they are going through baptism preparation at the moment. And they're going to be baptized right here in our jacuzzi that we call a baptuzzi. All right. And when they are baptized, they will be remembering their conversion. And they will be saying this, maybe not out loud, but in their hearts. What happened to Jesus and his death has happened to me. Jesus died, and by faith I'm linked to him, so that I, Tim, died with Jesus. That's verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? The Christian's sinful self didn't die when they were converted, but when they became a Christian, no, at your conversion, your story, your life converges and meets Jesus's. And as you put your faith in him, you died when he died 2,000 years ago on the cross, when he gave his life for you. That's the day your sinful self died. And your conversion is when your story and Jesus' story meets. When you put your faith in him, you're immediately united to him. So you, the sinner, died 2,000 years ago with Jesus. You, the sinner, are dead. You, the sinner, no longer live. Jesus died. Secondly, Jesus was buried. The burial of a body brings the unavoidable reality of death home to us. Every time I go to my parents' grave, my heart feels the reality of my dad and mum's death. I cannot avoid it. If I want a dose of reality to start making me think straight about life and what it's all about, and I've done this with one of my daughters, is go to my parents' grave and stand there. Face reality. And it reminds me that they've died. So at next month's baptism, 9 people are preparing to say, they may not say it out loud, this about their conversion. What happened to Jesus happened to me. Jesus was buried, and I, the sinner, Tim, was buried with him. My sinful self really is dead. It's buried. And that's clear to me. So what happens when I give my life to Jesus? And you might be thinking about doing that. What happened when you gave your life to Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? To put it plainly, a funeral happened. That's what happens when you become a Christian. A funeral takes place. And if you are thinking about becoming a Christian today, I want to encourage you to prepare a funeral, your own. Put your trust in Jesus and see your sinful self die and be buried. You may not have heard it like that before, but that's the reality. And that is true. Verse 4, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. But that's not the end of the story. Verse 4b, the next second part of verse 4 goes on and says, I'll read the whole thing. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Death, burial, resurrection. When you put your faith in Jesus, you link up with his resurrection too. He has risen. and you have spiritually risen too. So if you're going to give your life to Jesus, prepare for your funeral and seriously prepare today for your resurrection. Isn't that brilliant? To say goodbye to the past and whoa, I'm walking into the future with a new life, an eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is absolute. Why would you not want to do that if you've not yet done it? Really? Be free. Be born again. See your old self go. I mean, you just want to see their old self go. So, number three, a Christian is free to be godly. We don't have a get out of jail free card that goes, aha, I can do what I want. No. So the meaning of baptism is not about death only, but about a resurrection. At our baptism, we're saying what happened to Jesus happened to me is a resurrection too. Verse 5, for we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Because a Christian's died to sin with Jesus in the past, the authority of sin has been broken. The penalty of sin, death, has been paid. What's more, because the Christian now looks forward to rising again like Jesus in the future, a Christian is free now to offer ourselves in service to God to be godly. Not get out the jail free card, I can do what I want. No, the get out jail free card, I can live for Jesus. And I want to live for him. I've been born again. So back in the game of Monopoly. There is a special rule with this game, Monopoly, that my family used to play. But by the way, I was always useless at this game. I've got a brother called Steve. He always used to win. Terrible capitalist, my brother Steve. Turned 60 last week. A missionary for many years, so hopefully he's changed. Anyway, at certain points, you have to pay tax in this game, Monopoly. And you don't pay the person who's got the bank. The way we played, you put all the money from the taxes in the middle. All right? And whoever lands on free parking wins all the money. And it can change the game in a capitalistic way. You get shed loads of money and you can pay off your debts. You can buy everything. You know, you can just go for it. You can win the game. Being a Christian, the past dying for you, get out of jail free card. But you also get the Lord's resurrection power in your life. Being a Christian, in Monopoly terms, is like getting out of jail free, throwing the dice, and landing here in the same move and getting all the money and being able to live for the Lord in the new resurrection life that he's given to you. See, we don't want to go back to the old self. We want to live for Jesus in the new life that he has given to us to live for him. So verse 2, Jesus died to sin. So how can we live? How can we who die to sin still live in it? We don't want to go in that way anymore. Jesus rose, so we're free to be godly. Verse 4, just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So what? Okay, just want to bring some things to home, all right? Make it real for us. So what? Maybe there is someone here for whom it is time you organized your funeral and your resurrection moment. Why don't you put your faith in Jesus, his death for you today, link up with him by faith. See your old sinful self dead and buried with him. Put your faith in him and his resurrection and choose today to be free in Jesus, to live a life glorifying God. And if you wanted it, please come and see me at the end. Come and see Fee, who's leading our service. We'd love to pray with you and encourage you in your new resurrection life, and link you up with other people who can help you with that. Secondly, maybe there's someone here who really ought to go public about the fact that there has been a funeral taking place over the sinful self, and they are living a new life in Jesus, and yet they've never got baptized. Have a word with me. Organize your public funeral and resurrection moment. Maybe July 17th, too early for you, but we can talk and think about another day. Please, if you are a believer, and you're not yet baptized, come and have a conversation with me or with Fee, as I say, at the end. Others of us need to pray that we receive these things again very deeply in our hearts, and that we believe them, that we believe verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We need to consider this and know it to be true. Know it to be in a truth that doesn't just change our thinking, but change our hearts and our lives and our emotions and our feelings. And verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. We need to consider that and own that to be true, don't we? Not to live our lives just sort of cruising along happy with settled or habitual sin. No, to live a resurrection life. Sin so easily, habitual sin or addictive sin, is powerful. What comes to your conscience and your mind or your heart? What raises the guilt factor in your life, your thinking, when I say habitual sin? Or when I say addictive sin? And how does God want you to deal with those things? What sins ensnare us or persistently trip us up? Well, there's image, constantly worrying about what other people would think about us, or what we wear, or how we look, or envy. Envy over someone else's responsibility in church or at work, or resentment about a number of things that just don't seem to have worked out for you, or resentment that you're not getting credit for the things that you have done for others, or bitterness due to your way of life, or what's happened to you in life. No, it's not turned out in the way you always wanted it. Your dreams haven't come true. Life has been difficult. You've ended up somewhere else. You didn't want to be broken, and you're tempted to be bitter. How do we deal with these things? What burden of sin tempts us to think that we can't escape? Or what burden of sin says, God will forgive me. Get out of jail free card. Believe in Jesus. Or what is it that we fail so many times in the past that we kind of, once more won't make any difference? This is how God wants us to respond. I die to sin with Jesus. The penalty of sin's been paid. I'm free. If I go back to that habit or addiction or jealousy or image consciousness or resentment or bitterness, it will be like digging up my grave. And that's a really foul thought. Why do I want to do that? I want to live for Jesus. Got to get, see, the moment, what happened in our conversion and understanding what happens there helps us to begin to live free for Jesus and obediently in loving him forever. Instead, we'll think of tomorrow and the week ahead with Jesus' resurrection. I am alive in Christ. I am new. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in my mortal body to make me obey its passions. Do not present my members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but Tim, present yourself to God as someone who has been brought from death to life. Present your members to God as instruments for righteousness. If personalize those verses, present yourself to God. These feet will walk tomorrow with a step that is intentionally worshiping Jesus. These eyes will present your bodies. These eyes will set their vision or ambition and dreams on Jesus to honor him and to bring him joy. These hands will be used to love my neighbors. These ears to listen to other people's concerns and worries and bring Christ's comfort to other people. And this tongue's going to talk less about myself, and these ears, because there's twice as many of them, is going to listen more to other people. And if there is something to say, my tongue's not going to gossip. It's going to build up other people. It's going to encourage them. Encourage them to Jesus and encourage them in Jesus. Verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace, the grace of Jesus. We've been thinking about baptism. We come to the other sacrament today, eating bread and drinking wine. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're very welcome to come and receive. I'm going to be stood here with the bread, Emma with the wine here. Fee's going to be over there with the bread. And Tim's going to take his first time serving in our church community today with the wine there. We're going to, you know, musicians come first. If you're on this side, come down this aisle and go back that way. If you're on this side, come down on the left-hand side there and then scoot round and we'll have a little circulation going on over there. The bread's gluten-free. There's a non-alcoholic alternative to the wine. It's a lighter color. But come. Come and say, I am so grateful to Jesus. He's changed my life, and I want to live for him. Thankful for him. Let's spend a moment of quiet. I've said enough. Pray quietly in our own hearts, asking the Spirit to lead us and guide us to a good and right and joyful, obedient response to the Lord God. And in a moment of quiet, I can ask the musicians to come to the front to be ready to sing.